Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on North Michigan Avenue in historic Tribune Tower. Joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick. And Hal, thank you so much for joining me after the quite busy week that you had last week.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Rick.
I appreciate you saying that. I'm sure you'll tell me the truth tomorrow. Well, let's kind of pick up where you picked up last week in the early part of the week. This whole issue of the kind of battle that's going on between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and the Democratic-controlled legislature over the fate of general state aid school funding for the Chicago public schools and schools throughout the state. This all over an issue that the Democrat-led legislature has passed a bill but has not yet sent it to the governor, which would change the way that the general state aid money is doled out to school districts across the state. And yes, we do have a budget agreement, and we have a budget enacted, the override over the governor's veto. We finally have a budget, but in that budget was the proviso that this new school aid formula had to be adopted in order to dole out the money, and the governor has said he's going to veto that. What's his explanation for that veto threat?
His explanation for that is that it would be, as he describes it, a bailout for Chicago public schools because it would provide them with additional money for pensions, $215 million, and also continue to provide them with a larger portion of grant money that goes to school districts than it would normally be entitled to if they did it strictly on a per-student basis. And so he sort of set this line in the sand, saying, I'm not going to bail out the Chicago public schools. Chicago public schools, of course, vehemently denies that it's a bailout. They claim that it's not even the amount of money that they would get out of that bill, which is around $300 million additional funding per year, is not even as much as they are entitled to. These are arguments that have been going on between Democrats and Republicans for many, many years now. And what we tried to do in the story is break down, look at the numbers, break down these arguments, and see who was telling the truth. As it happens, they were both telling the truth, but not the whole truth.
Wow, there's something new in politics, isn't it?
Yeah, right? I was just going to say, this is often the case in politics. So what happens is, because of the way they handed over the Chicago Public Schools to the mayor of the city back in 1995, when it was experiencing another financial catastrophe, one of many it's experienced over the decades, they gave Chicago Public Schools a fixed percentage of the grant money goes to special education, busing, you know, things that
they're known as they're known as categorical programs.
Correct. And so as the CPS student count declined relative to the rest of the state, the percentage that they got made it get more money than it would have under the way they divvy up that money. So it gets about $250 million extra in those grants. And Rauner keeps pointing out, and CPS does not disagree. So if you take just the education money and the grant money, CPS has 18.8% of the students, but it gets 23.6% of all the education funding in the state. So that's where the Republican argument holds water. But what the Republicans tend to ignore is in 1995, they also pledged to CPS that they would give them 20-30% of the amount of money they give each year for the teachers' retirement system pension, and that's all the pension systems for every other school district.
Outside Chicago.
Outside Chicago, right. K through high school.
Right.
And so if you take that, and that amount that they've been giving to Chicago Public Schools was like 23% that first year, 1995, and then it dropped below 20% every year after that. And in recent years, as the amount of money that they've been pouring into the teacher's retirement system has shot up exponentially because that was so poorly funded and the state never funded that properly, the amount that they've given the Chicago Public Schools has dwindled to below $2 million from what was originally, you know, 61, I think, in 1995. So they're only getting less, or about a third of 1% of the pension money that the state spends every year. If you gave them all that, so if you add that in, CPS gets 15.3% of all money spent on education, including pensions, when it has 18.8% of the population. We ran the numbers. If they gave them, gave CPS, the amount based on its population, it would get an extra $500 million a year. So that's where the CPS argument comes in. Okay, you're going to give us $300 million in this new bill. We're entitled to $500 million. That's Forrest Claypool's argument, the CEO of CPS. So what CPS doesn't tell you is that a lot of that problem is because they did not properly fund their pensions. And for 10 years, they skipped pension payments since 1995. Another 3 years, they skimped on pension payments. So they got themselves into a lot of this trouble, and they borrowed too much money rather than spending it directly on education. So they have a very high debt burden at the same time. Countering that, Claypool will tell you, well, look at TRS. They're worse funded in percentage terms than the Chicago Teachers Pension Fund, which is a separate pension fund from the rest of the state. So, you know, he says, so why punish us because we didn't do the right thing when the state didn't do the right thing either? So those are the numbers broken down, but people are, as you know, so hardened in their rhetoric that especially the governor at this point, that it's hard to know how this will turn out.
Well, and what we have seen, and a couple of things to note, too. In 1995, that actually was a time when Republicans controlled the General Assembly.
Right, and they had refused to loan more money to CPS because of its financial condition. Things that would sound familiar to us today, junk bond status, not enough cash to, you know, keep operating on a daily basis. And so, and the state actually had a special authority that sort of oversaw finances, but yet they were about to throw up their hands. And so what they did, Richard M. Daley asked for control, and so the Republicans sort of said, fine, you want control of it? Here you go.
And and Republicans approved it, and Governor Edgar signed the legislation.
Right.
And as frankly, the Republican attitude then was, okay, you want it, fine. Be careful what you wish for. And
right. Back in those days, I covered DuPage County for other publications, and I occasionally talked to James Page Phillip, the Republican Senate president back then, and I remember him saying, you know, great, let's give it to Daley. Let it be his problem. You
know? Absolutely. And at that time, too, the Chicago teachers' pension system, funded, you know, by property taxes, local property taxes, and that leads to that argument, you know, that every other school district's pensions are covered by the state except Chicago's.
Right.
But at that time, the Chicago teachers' pension fund was, I believe, 90% funded.
It actually, if you look at the numbers, was more than 100% funded. Can you imagine?
Huh.
and it stayed more than 100% funded for 5 years after skipping payments after 1990. They were so well funded. But what they did that changed that dramatically was for 10 years they skipped pension payments and diverted all the money that they had been collecting for pensions to educational costs because they were trying to, you know, shore that up. And for a while that was okay, but the returns on their investments weren't as good and it started to decline. And they had two downturns, and now they're about 50% funded. But, yeah, they also, interestingly enough, removed a special property tax that was levied just for the pension fund, and they took the money that they were getting from that and poured that into education. If they had kept that, they'd probably be in much, much, or not probably, they would be in much, much sounder shape. And what's really interesting about that is that under Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the last year, they restored that property tax, which is one reason why in Chicago property tax bills are going up significantly again.
So statewide, we have the issue of the governor issuing this veto threat, basically saying that he would use an amendatory veto to remove the Chicago pension language from this legislation. And it really boils down to the fact that you have this bill that has passed. Democrats are holding on to the bill. And, of course, as we get closer to August, schools around the state looking for what are we going to have for state funding, because for the most part that's been something that has moved along despite the budget impasse, even though schools are still owed in back payment over $1 billion because of the budget impasse. But you have the governor saying he would use his amendatory veto, basically coming down to the fact that Mike Madigan, the House Speaker, does not really recognize the authority of the governor to use a mandatory veto. So it's either it would be dead and there would be no school funding on the table, or they try to override this. And the governor has issued a Monday deadline for the legislature to turn over Senate Bill 1, as it's known. And the bill has immense support from school administrators throughout the state. And the bottom line, as Democrats will argue, is it's all a definition of a clause called hold harmless, that every school district in the state would get at least what it has gotten before. And so that's why you have these various things built into the bill, you know, what's deemed as a hold harmless. And there's a Republican version of this legislation that strips out that Chicago money. And also would gradually change the way funds are allocated to a per-pupil basis. But throughout the state, a number of superintendents overwhelmingly supporting the bill as passed by the legislature. So we'll see how this all shapes up as we get closer to the opening of schools starting next month. We're speaking with Hal Dardick. He's my Tribune colleague over on the political team. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague Hal Dardick from the political team. And now that we've talked about the school opus, and we'll be talking about that later in the show as well. But I also wanted to talk to you about kind of this issue of Joe Berrios, the issue of property assessments. The Tribune, of course, had a huge story, you know, questioning the system of assessments, the way properties were being assessed in Cook County. Where do things stand? I mean, it seemed like Berrios was called on the carpet by the county board members the other day.
Yeah, they called him in fairly, well, maybe unprecedented, I don't know, going back in all of history, but a very unusual move. They called Joe Berrios, who's also, you know, as you say, the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party, before the county board, and said, explain how you do your job and why you're not basically shafting poor people in the process of assessing properties, which determines how much people pay in property taxes. So it was quite an interesting turn of events for a guy that was raised in Cabrini Green and was one of the first Latino politicians in the state to rise to high levels. But what they're concerned about is the Tribune did a very thorough analysis and determined that the way the properties are assessed, they're assessing higher value properties at too low of a rate generally, and lower value properties at too high of a rate, which means that people in poorer communities, and mostly communities where African Americans and Latinos live, are probably paying more than their fair share. And Berrios had a formula that a number of people in the McCormick Foundation MacArthur Foundation helped fund that would have fixed the system, they say, and he never fully implemented it. So he was called before the county board. Cook County Commissioner Jesus Chuy Garcia was particularly strong in his questioning of Berrios and why the system works. And so while other commissioners, I think in part because of Joe's political power, were a little more deferential to Assessor Berrios than you might expect in such a situation, and they wanted to know what he's going to do about it. And basically what they said, and Tony Preckwinkle, the county board president, who's his strong ally, announced that they would be doing a study of this. Well, the folks that are critical is that we've already done four or five studies. We know what needs to be done. Why are you doing another study? And President Preckwinkle announced that at the end of the hearing. Her aides came out and handed out the press releases to the media right as the hearing was ending, which meant, and also the commissioners didn't know exactly what she was doing, and it was kind of a weak press release, and it said, okay, we're engaging this not-for-profit group to tell us what the scope of the study will be and who we need to hire. It wasn't even a study.
It was about the people to how do you do a study.
Right. So it raised eyebrows. Was Tony Preckwinkle trying to divert attention from the problems in the system and her ally, Joe Berrios, being called on the carpet? Now, I asked President Preckwinkle about that a day later when I got a chance, and she said, well, that was when it came together, and we've been working on this for a while, and with the Civic Consulting Alliance, and that was just the way the timing happened. Well, you know, right at the end of the hearing, it raises questions. Let's put it that way.
It's curious. Yeah,
yes, it is. So, your, I think, initial question was, well, what happens now? Well, I don't know. They'll do another study. We don't know how long that will take. We don't know what will come of it. And the critics, who are really well-versed in the system, seem to think, well, you know, you can go in there, you can use this formula that was already devised and that the Tribune pointed out was never fully implemented, and you can fix it with that system. It addresses the problems and go from there. If it needs tweaking, it needs tweaking, whatever, but, you know, you have the answer, so what are you doing? There's a lot of politics tied up in this with Joe Berrios being the chairman and ally of House Speaker Mike Madigan, and Madigan having a practice in real estate that specializes in helping people appeal their property tax assessments. And the lawyers that do this work contribute a lot of money to Joe Berrios. Some of the commissioners are trying to put a stop to allowing those contributions, but I don't see them having the votes to move that forward. But just a lot of influential Democrats who have, in some sense, their livelihoods tied up in this system, And what the Tribune also found was that the Barrios likes to find out, well, you know, we've got record numbers of appeals. We're helping people. What it found was that the more affluent people have more of the wherewithal to do appeals, whether they can hire attorneys or they have the time, you know, because they're not working all the time or whatever. And after appeals, the system is more unfair than it was before appeals.
And all of this playing out against the backdrop of the 2018 elections and the Cook County Democratic Organization, headed by Joe Barrios, still deciding on slating of its candidates. So all things to keep an eye on. And helping to keep an eye on that is Hal Dardick from our Tribune political team. Hal, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.